Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome to Monsters Among Us. I am your guide, Derek Hayes. It sure is nice to have you here with us this evening. And I suspect you came here hoping to hear a tale of horror or two. A few true tales of horror. Well, you came to the right place, because I have an entire hour of them lined up for you this evening. Stories about alien abduction, creatures, warped entities and doppelgangers, and maybe even the infamous black-eyed kids. So cozy on up here to the digital fire while we tell a few tales, beginning with a story out of North Carolina. Please welcome Elena to tonight's program.
Hey Derek, this is Elena from North Carolina. I've called a couple times with my story and my dad's story, and I was just listening to season 15, episode 6, and the lady was talking about the triangles in the sky and the UFOs, and it reminded me of the story that my stepdad would tell me and my friends when we were in high school, and it completely freaked us out. Yeah, I just had to call and tell you. So basically how it goes is he was a little kid, so he's like almost 60 now, so it would have been in the early 70s that this happened in Cary, North Carolina. He was sleeping and he had the most vivid dream he had ever had, and it was basically him in the sky looking at multiple triangles, like triangular craft, like 1 dot, 2 dot, 3 dot, and they were in a circle going really fast. Really, it was just a terrifying dream for him. There was multiple people surrounding him. Really scary for a kid. He wakes up and he can't move. He's completely paralyzed and he's freaking out. He's a little kid, so he doesn't know what to do. He falls asleep. Wakes up, he notices he has 3 dots on his head. He has a dot on his forehead and 2 dots on his cheeks. And his mom, dad told him nothing, just probably poked himself in the night. Nothing happened, right? Anyways, years and years and years later, my stepdad is probably in his like 40s or 50s at this point and is watching the History Channel, probably Ancient Aliens or something, the guy with the hair, and they're talking about triangles in the sky. And my stepdad just was like, oh, that's what happened. I was abducted by aliens. He loves to tell a story, still has the dots on his head and on his cheeks, and loves to freak people out by it. He is a super smart guy, not a believer in anything like that, but will very much say and go to his grave that he was abducted by aliens. Yeah, I think it's a great story. I remembered it the other day, and then I literally just listened to that episode and was like, wow, that's crazy. Love your show, Derek. I've just been binging it, and I'm obsessed. Feel like a crazy person because I just listen to it all the time. I'm a teacher and I literally have it in my ear pods when I'm grading papers. I'm like, what is wrong with me? Anyways, love you. Bye.
I mean, what's wrong with all of us, honestly? Thank you, Elena. Now, I remember first hearing about alien abduction and the heinous examinations they supposedly put people through when I was pretty young. It scared the bejesus out of me. I was probably only 10 or 11 at the time. And the stories that left me the most shaken were the ones where artifacts were left under the skin of abductees, or those folks that discover fresh scars after an experience. Now, it used to be you'd only hear about these sorts of cases from time to time, and the marks that were left were ambiguous scratches or healed over scars. But these days, the aliens must be upping their ante, because the marks they're leaving now and the frequency at which they leave them might be record-breaking. In fact, here's a new example I saw just the other day, courtesy of the television program The Proof Is Out There. And it begins when Sev Talk and her boyfriend are unpacking their new place in North Carolina, of all places, when she notices something strange on her, well, tuchus.
Suddenly, Sev feels what she describes as a bug bite on her rear. And when she looks...
We're both stunned, wondering, how did this red X show up on the left cheek of your tush?
9 dots are arranged on her skin in a perfect X formation. The mark doesn't itch, and upon running her fingers over it, Sev feels neither a raise nor indentation.
I couldn't feel it. I decided, let's just ignore this. We're going to pretend like this never even happened.
9 days after discovering those first marks, Sev says she was startled awake by a rush of disturbing memory fragments, believing them to be from the night before she recalled an unearthly encounter.
I was lying on this bed that resembled a hospital bed. And I turned my head around, and standing right behind me, right here, just inches from me, was a gray.
By gray, Sev is referring to the infamous gray aliens, intergalactic antagonist in many alien abduction accounts.
We locked eyes, and ding, I'm back in my bedroom.
Fearing that these visions weren't just a dream, Sev checks the mirror and discovers a second X mark has appeared on her backside, directly across from the original. The marks lasted around 3 weeks before fading from her skin.
I was so afraid and so confused. There was no logical explanation for this.
Now, I will admit, this is a pretty good television program. And if you're a fan of the skeptical angle here on Monsters Among Us, I bet you'll probably enjoy The Proof Is Out There. But what you won't enjoy is an experience with these mysterious gray aliens. Because from what I learned from people like Sev and Elena's stepfather, is that even when the abduction is over, it seems the nightmare is just beginning. So thank you again, Elena, for sharing his story tonight with us. Now, folks, I have all kinds of stories like this to share with you tonight, and we're going to get right back into them. But first, a quick word from tonight's sponsors.
Wanted it real bad. Now we might be able to relax a little bit and go day by day and not look forward.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Whether you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just...
Things have changed a lot around here.
Now, those pesky gray aliens have to travel around in something. And maybe Brian here, from Ohio, can shed some light on exactly how they got there.
Hi, Derek. This is Brian from Lynchburg, Ohio. I recently was over my dad's house. We watched wrestling pay-per-views, and on my way home, I was driving on the way home by myself. I looked over on top of a house. Above the house was floating a glowing spaceship. It looked almost like a drone, but it wasn't a drone. It was way brighter than a drone. It was just floating above the house, and it was like probably 11:30. Nobody was around. Nobody was outside. No other porch lights was on. The house was completely dark, but it was floating over, and I remember stopping there looking at the orb or whatever it was, drones flying over the house. It seemed like this time stood still. I don't remember what happened after that. And then I kind of was in one part of the road. And then when I came back through, I remember being down like a half a mile away, looking up in the same direction. And I don't remember how I got there. And then time when I got home, which would normally take me about 35 minutes to get home from my dad's house, it was like an hour or two later. So the pay-per-view was off at 11, and I was home like 12:30, almost 1 o'clock at night. And I don't remember none of the time between that time. All I remember is looking up at that light above the house, and don't remember nothing else being transfixed on the object above the house. And it was just kind of weird. This is one of the strange things that happened to me. I don't know what it was, if it could have been some kind of alien spaceship or some kind of something. I don't know what it was, but I just thought that was a weird instance. I really appreciate your show. I really like it, and gives me something to listen to when I'm working or on my way to and from my parents or out and about. But thanks a lot, Derek, for your show. Much appreciated. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Brian, for calling in. You know, I can't help but wonder if Brian witnessed one of these alien abductions in progress. A hovering light over a house, and some missing time. You know, maybe I've just seen one too many episodes of Unsolved Mysteries. Either way, it was creepy stuff, Brian. And we thank you again for making the phone call. Now, folks, if you have a story you would like to share here on the program, give our hotline a call at 888-608-NIGHT. That's 888-608-NIGHT. Or you can record your story as a voice memo and email it to me at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. And remember these simple rules. No moving vehicles. Call from a quiet place. True stories only. One story per call. And be sure to finish your story, even if that means you have to call in a second or possibly third time. And finally, above all else, keep it spooky. Whatever your story is, we look forward to hearing from you. Now next up, we venture to Florida, where Robbie is waiting with his entry.
Hey, Derek, it's Robbie Sawyer from Jacksonville, Florida. Calling with a crazy story. Huge fan of the podcast, by the way. When I was about 11 years old, stuff has always kind of happened our whole life growing up. Things moving, noises, cabinets and drawers in the kitchen opening and closing, that sort of things, right? So when I was about 11 years old, we moved with my dad to St. Simon's Island. For those who don't know where St. Simon's Island is, it's right off the coast of Georgia. Brunswick is the inland city. Brunswick, Georgia, right on the border with Florida. And unaware of the history of the place at 11 years old, as an adult, gone back and done research, was a big revolutionary point in the Revolutionary War. The Queen's Rangers were nearby. who were some British loyalists, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, there was a lot of revolutionary history there, a lot of really old history on the island. So 11 years old, moved into St. Simon's with my dad. My parents were divorced. And we moved right off the road, Holly Street, and lived in this quaint little house, 3 bedrooms, smaller, but it was still really nice. And I remember as a kid growing up, living there, and it was the first time I'd ever seen a house that was built with a really high ceiling, and it had like a loft room upstairs. And then right under the loft room was mine and my sister's rooms that faced each other underneath it. And then this big open living room kitchen conjoined. But anyway, a lot of weird things happening. And so growing up, you know, we would hear plates and dishes rattling. And my dad was also, important to the story, he was legally blind, 100% blind. So he couldn't see what we were doing as kids, you know, and all that. But he was also very sensitive to sound and to noises. So there would be times we'd be laying there and around midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, we'd hear my dad say, Jamie, Robbie, get out of the kitchen. So me and my sister would go to our doors that faced each other and like whispering to each other, don't go in the kitchen. You're going to get us in trouble. Don't go in there. And we would both swear up and down it wasn't either of us. So we'd sit there cross-legged, crisscross applesauce, looking at each other. Then all of a sudden we'd hear the same things too. We'd hear the drawers start rattling, the kitchen cabinets open. You could hear plates and bowls clanking. It sounded like somebody was moving it across the tile level of the counter. Weird stuff. So anyway, but we never visually saw anything at that point. So one day we're sitting there as a family. My dad had just got home from work. It was about 5 p.m. And our favorite thing to do every afternoon was he would make us watch Seinfeld with him. So we're all piled up on the couch, getting into dinner. And we got Seinfeld going in the living room. And sitting there listening, well, about this time, we hear knocking on the back door, which is also really weird because the whole house is surrounded by an 8-foot privacy fence, full wooden planks. There's no easy access from the front. And so we thought it's really weird. Like, nobody goes into our backyard. It's important, too, that we had a lab puppy named Delilah. That's where I got the D from. But we're sitting there eating dinner, and we hear knock, knock, knock on the back door. My dad said, oh, that's just Delilah's tail. She's standing by the back door. And, you know, it made some knocking noise. And I said, okay. So I'm a little freaked out, but I go open the door. Delilah is not there. She's on her chain in the backyard on the runner. I said, Dad, that wasn't Delilah. She's on the runner. Well, the runner, for those that don't know, it's this thing across the yard that hooked to a leash almost that goes back and forth. However, it would not reach to the back door. Back door had a porch she had to step up onto and all that. So she's out in the middle of the yard. He said, well, it had to be some type of animal or whatever. Anyway, put Delilah in her kennel for the night in her doghouse. It was like an enclosed pen area. So put Delilah up, go back, shut the door, lock it, a little spooked out. My dad, again, can't see anything. He's 100% blind. And so he's just like by himself with these two kids, 11 and 10. So he tries to act like not much bothered him. But by that time, we hear doom, doom, doom on the back door again. I said, come on, man. Oh, you got to be kidding me. So I go back, swing the door open. Nobody's there. So I'm getting upset. My sister's getting upset. So I said, nobody's here, Dad. Like, something's wrong. So my dad said, all right. He's the older, more wise one of the group, right? He's the dad. He's the adult. So he says, all right, Robbie, what I want you to do, unlock that door, both locks, open it, close it. Stand there with your hand on the doorknob. He said, because it's probably neighborhood kids just jumping the fence, playing ding dong ditch, or, you know, trying to scare you. It's kids, you know. And when we hear the knocking again, just rip the door open. And I said, okay, we're going to get them. I'm going to figure out who this is. It's probably one of my buddies from the neighborhood. This is so dumb, so mad. I'm so ticked off right now. So standing there, waiting a couple minutes. My sister's looking at me like I'm crazy. You know, Dad's sitting there listening to Seinfeld. Doom, 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 boom. I throw the door wide open. Nobody's there. Boom, we go into full hysterics. Like, I'm freaking out. Like, I'm screaming, Dad, there's no one there. Dad, there's no one there. My sister starts bawling and just crying, wailing, because I scared her now, because I'm so scared. My dad's blind again. He can't see what's going on. Funny looking back now, but he's like, what's happening? What's happening? And I can't get it out because I'm like petrified, but also hollering. Full chaos ensues. Anyway, things calm down, and my dad says, all right, that's it. All right, turn the TV off. Everybody go to bed. Y'all got to quit playing this stuff. You know, he was a big skeptic. He didn't believe any of that. I think as a blind person, you kind of had to be skeptic, you know, like it's scary enough. being brave enough to face day-to-day life. So now if you throw in a poltergeist, demonic element to the house, that makes things a lot more terrifying. So you got to play skeptic. Again, looking back, he was braver than I could ever be. A blind man trying to raise an 11 and 10-year-old by himself at a house and get us to school every day and him get to work every day. It was crazy. Every day was an adventure. But again, that was my story. Really scary. There's a lot more freaky things happened to the house, but I'm out of time. So I just wanted to tell you that story, and I'll probably call in and tell you some more of the House on Holly Street stories. Again, big fan of the podcast. Thanks for everything you do, and take care.
Thank you, Robbie. You know, it sounds like the setup to some sort of horror film. And I could not imagine trying to raise children on an island while being completely blind. That sounds like quite the challenge. But you know, to do so while also experiencing a haunting of some type, well, that does not sound fun in any way. So good on your father, Robbie. Sounds like quite the man. And thank you again for calling in.
Hey, but I also want to tell you want to be healthy, and I can tell you can develop the virus in between 7 and 21 days.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The train will make the 218-mile run to Vegas in 2 hours.
To learn more.
Okay, so this next call takes us to parts unknown. Please welcome tonight's first anonymous caller.
I'll tell you a story about the time me and my sister saw this ghost. I think I was about 8 years old, and she was probably about 7. We slept in the same room. We had twin beds. And one night, she just woke up, and she's crying and telling me, I see something, I see something. I'm telling her, go back to sleep, go back to sleep. She's saying, no, let me get in the bed with you. I see something. And then I said, okay. So then she gets in the bed with me. But I never turn over to see what she's talking about. So finally, after she gets in there and she calms down because she had been crying and everything, and I'm talking to her and I said, well, what do you see? And she says, over there by the register. In the house that we lived in, they had these registers that were the length of the ceiling to the floor, and that's what the heat would come out of. And she said, there's something over there by the register. So finally, she gets in there and she's behind me and we're talking about it. I turn over and get brave and peep. And I sit up from the bed, pull the covers back, and I look, and I see this shadowy, ghostly figure standing there by the register, just sort of standing there, flowing. It was about the size of a human being, and, you know, it was a ghost. Because of the heat register and everything, it was flowing like it was in a gown or something. It was just very, regal-like, you know, blowing. And so I'm looking at it, and then finally I just start screaming for my mother or my dad, anybody, and then my sister joined in, and we're screaming and hollering, and nobody's coming. My parents aren't even paying any attention to us. And so finally we just balled up in the covers together and hugged each other, and we just rode it out until the next morning. So finally, we asked her, you know, why she didn't come. And I said, didn't you hear us hollering? And she said, yeah. She said, but y'all were just having a bad dream. It was nothing. Don't even worry about it. And she just sort of brushed it off. And so me and my sister was like, what? You know, because my mother wasn't like that. You know, if we scratched our knees, she was there. And we were screaming bloody murder and no mom. But she said we were having a bad dream, so we just forgot about it. So we just let it go. So years later, I think I was still a teenager, and my sister was right behind me because she's just a year short of me. And we were all talking about ghost stories and everything, and then we were telling the people that we were around about our story and everything. And then my mom spoke up and told us something I never told y'all when y'all were kids, because we were adults then when we were sharing the story. She says, I did come to y'all. And when I came out of the bedroom and going down the hall to go to your room, I saw my mother standing there at the register. And I just looked at her and I just turned around and went back to my room because I felt like she was just there wanting to see you guys for the last time. Because prior to that, my grandmother had passed away and my mother had went to her funeral and stayed like 2 weeks and came back home. So this was like maybe a couple of months, maybe 2 or 3 months after she had passed away that this scenario happened. But we didn't know anything about it until we were adults that she had told us the story.
Thank you, caller, for ringing in. Could you imagine? Could you imagine if you were in our caller's shoes and you had an experience such as this? And you knew that your mother was down the hall. And you knew that she didn't come to help you. Or could you imagine if you were the caller's mother and you hear your children screaming in the other room, and when you rush in to aid them, you see the spirit of your dead mother standing before you? Two wild experiences that seem to have occurred at exactly the same time. Certainly gripping stuff, caller. And we can't thank you enough for taking the time to tell us all about it. Now, from ghosts to UFOs, we cover it all here at Monsters Among Us. As an example, please welcome Jay, also from North Carolina.
Hey, Derek. It's Jay again from North Carolina. So, this is something that happened to me, I think, last year. It was a clear night, and I was driving back home after a long day of running DoorDash, and I saw 7 magenta lights in the sky, 6 on the outside and 1 in the middle, in the shape of a hexagon. The 6 on the outside were dancing around each other, and the 1 in the middle wasn't moving at all. And since this wasn't my first UFO sighting, I decided to record it. Now, that's important later. So I'm recording it, and I'm looking at them, and they're all dancing around each other, and then eventually they all stop and then go in one by one into the middle light. The middle light glows very bright and then disappears all at once. It was so weird. It was like the whole section of the sky just lit up very quickly and then disappeared. They were dim this entire time up until that point. Now, the reason why it's important that I mentioned that I was recording this is because when I went home, I was excited to look at this video. I even pulled off the road to finish the video. And then I stopped it and I went home. That's what I remembered that night. A few days later, I decided to look at the video, but I can't find it anywhere on my phone. And I'm looking and looking and looking, but I can't find it anywhere. I can't even find it on my Google library, which is weird because it's supposed to go on automatically whenever I record or take pictures. And I try my hardest to remember, and I have still now a very, very faint memory. When I go back to the memory, I realize for some reason in my head, I thought, oh, the video is not too good. And I deleted it. Now, the weird part is, I not only deleted it, I went to the trash can, emptied my trash can, went to my Google, Well, I don't know if I went to my Google, actually. I just know that I had to have because it's not there. And it's not there. It's gone. All of it's gone. And I don't know why I couldn't remember it from that night. For some reason, I told myself it wasn't a good video, and I deleted it. And this video showed almost the entire encounter that lasted for about 2 or 3 minutes. But it's just gone. I've been asking my brain over it for so long, and I just can't figure out what happened. I thought of this because I'm listening to Season 13, Episode 5. I'm going through all of the backlog after coming from BCC. And someone was talking about Firefly lights in the sky. And it was very interesting. And I thought I should talk about this story that's happened to me on my way home. I'm also realizing you get a lot of calls from North Carolina. So I decided to look it up. And it turns out North Carolina runs perfectly along the 37th parallel. So that's fun. Not only that, it's actually the thing that's the reason why we have the northern border of North Carolina. It's the straight edge of North Carolina. It was just so strange to me that I've seen so much stuff, and we've had so many UFO sightings, and then I realized, oh, we're on the UFO highway. Anyways, thanks. Love the show. Bye.
Thank you, Jay. You know, sometimes footage of these unidentified flying objects has a funny way of deleting itself. Just like Jay here, a witness of an event will swear that they filmed a close encounter, only to realize no images were actually recorded to their device. And sometimes those recordings are confiscated right out from under their noses. That very thing happened to a witness of the infamous Phoenix Lights from March of 1997. Now, there are a few videos out there and hundreds that have claimed to have seen this craft. But one man claims he had the best view of all, and that he captured it all on VHS. But like with Jay, something or someone came by to interject.
Months after this sighting, there are still many questions regarding the strange lights over Phoenix. Is this a solid craft or merely lights in an empty sky? What could be the conclusive evidence is now mysteriously missing. Richard Curtis claims his home video is proof that this sighting was a huge flying craft, and he claims his video shows a solid object in the sky passing over his home.
I saw the bottom of it as it went over the top of Phoenix. The lights of Phoenix lit up the bottom part of it, and it blocked out the clouds and the stars.
Curtis calls Phoenix Councilwoman Barwood to show her the footage.
He had it on these two videotapes, and he asked me if I would like them. So I said, of course I would. Could he give me copies of them? And he said that he would, and I told him how to get them to my office and to mark them personal and confidential.
But before Curtis can send Barwood the videotapes, he's paid a visit by two mysterious men in black.
They were all dressed in black suits, and they had the hat, the black hats, and sunglasses. And they asked me if I had tapes for City Councilwoman Barwood. And I said, yeah, they're right, laying right here. And they said, well, we stopped by to pick them up. I said, oh, great. I just handed it to them.
I didn't get them, and I have no idea who these two men were, since I have just females working in my office. So it's just absolutely puzzling to me.
I think somebody either listened in on a phone call and wanted them tapes.
I can't explain it. It's just kind of eerie.
Now, that clip is from all the way back in 1997 and comes to us via KSAZ, Fox 10, out of Phoenix. And it's certainly crazy stuff you're claiming there, Jay. But somehow I still believe you. But I do wish you had that video. Because, of course, I'd love to lay eyes on it. Now, maybe one day it'll magically pop back up. I can't help but wonder if we get all our videos and audio back once disclosure finally takes place. I'm asking for a few different friends. And thank you again, Jay, for calling in. Now speaking of the American Southwest, Stephen from Arizona is here to provide our next story on the evening.
Hey, Derek, this is Stephen calling from Arizona. It is pretty early in October right now. This happened about 3 days ago. So I live with an elderly relative in a two-story house. I was upstairs in my bedroom on the phone with a friend, and my relative, he was downstairs watching a baseball game. And as I was sitting there, I saw a shadow go by my doorway, and then all of a sudden, my relative pops up in my doorway, and I was like, oh, you know, what are you doing up here? Because he usually stays downstairs. And he just says, hey, I need you to come downstairs for a minute. And I said, okay. I wrapped up things on my phone call, and I went down there. And when I got downstairs, I said, you know, hey, what do you need? You came up and said you needed me to come down here for something. And he looked at me just really confused, and he said, I haven't gotten up at all in the last hour or so. I've just been sitting here. So that kind of, I mean, I don't even know what to think of the whole thing. I'm just kind of confused myself about it. And like at first I was thinking like maybe there was a doppelganger, but I've always thought they had kind of malicious intent, and this didn't really seem malicious. I mean, all it said was, hey, I need you to come downstairs for a second. You know, like I said, I don't really know what to make of the whole deal. It hasn't happened again. Hopefully it was just kind of a one-time thing, because it just kind of weirded me out. But if you have any insight on what that could have been, I'd really love to hear what you have to say. So yeah, thanks for all that you do with the show, and I look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you, Stephen. Well, what do you think, gang? Doppelganger, glitch in the matrix, astral projection, a simple hallucination, or maybe a living ghost, as some call them, an apparition of a person that is still alive and well somewhere. Your guess is as good as mine, but we appreciate the phone call, Stephen. So thank you again for calling in.
This sports update is brought to you by chicken, beef, real meat, fruits, and veggies.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Coffee shop owner, florist, automotive shop, dry cleaner, you name it.
Well, kids, I hope you're prepared, because these next few calls will make your skin crawl. Beginning with Yanni's entry, from parts unknown.
Hi, Derek. This is Yanni. This one happened when I was in first grade, maybe second grade. We were living in South Georgia, and my mom was home, and I had two other siblings that were home with me. And we used to love to play. Well, let me go back and tell you how the format of the trailer that we lived in was. You know, when you came into the front door, you would come into the living room. And then if you took a right, it would take you into a bedroom. And this bedroom was connected to another bedroom that went into the back. And there was no way to get to that back bedroom without going through that first bedroom. So they were both connected. There was no door to get out of that back bedroom without having to go through the first bedroom. And there was a window on that right side of that wall. There was a really large window that kind of led from that back bedroom to the front bedroom. And this is going to be important. So it was two of my younger siblings, myself, and my mom that were home that day. She was taking a nap, so we decided to play inside the closet in that first bedroom that was right across from that window. And so we were in there, and my mom used to have some like glassware or china or something in that closet in a box. And so she would get really upset with us if we were in there playing. So we were in there playing, and we heard her get up out of the bed, or we heard someone in the bedroom walk out of the bedroom, walk into that small little hallway that connected both bedrooms. We saw the shadow of the person go across the window, and we hid. We kind of ducked a little bit because we didn't want to get in trouble and her catch us in there. So we kind of hid a little bit, but we were able to see the shadow go crossed a window and out to the front bedroom and then out to the living room. And we had a back door that went across from the living room. So we heard the footsteps, you know, go walk, and then the back door open and then close. And we were like, oh no, she's looking for us. So we jumped up out of the closet and we ran after her and went to the back door. In the trailers, they had the doors, but it had like a little chain that connected the door so it wouldn't open all the way. And so the chain was still moving. We, you know, opened the door and ran out to the backyard to look for her because, you know, we were worried she was looking for us. And we couldn't find her. So we ran back inside and went into the back bedroom to see, you know, what in the world was going on. And she was sleeping. Now, like I said, there was no way to get in and out of that bedroom unless you were to go through that front bedroom to the back bedroom. And we saw a shadow and we heard the footsteps. And we were the only ones home. It was just me, my two younger siblings that were with me, and my mom, who was sleeping in the back bedroom. Now, I've always told the story. I don't know what it is. You know, it could have been NSZE, but it was just the weirdest thing I've ever experienced. But that's my story. Hopefully, you know, you guys can play it and people will enjoy it.
Thank you, Yanni. That is spooky stuff. It's never a good feeling when you realize you might not be alone when you thought you were. And if you think Yanni's story was bone-chilling, just wait until you hear what Charles has in store for us.
Hi, Derek. This is Charles calling in from St. Clair Shores, Michigan area. So this is something that I'm not entirely sure what I saw, but late midsummer, Friday evening, I was out visiting friends. This was about maybe 2 years ago. About a 20-minute drive home, I pulled into my driveway, and this isn't really unusual as I tend to keep late hours. I turn off my engine, I reach for my phone, it's mounted on my dash. On the right side of my passenger window, I notice movement under the single white street lamp on our lengthy street. I see the silhouettes of two children, presumably young girls with longer hair, riding bikes in the middle of the road, just passing under the street lamp. I thought it was benign at first, but suddenly it occurs to me that the time being past 1 a.m., the strangeness starts to sink in. What were two children riding bikes at this hour in the middle of the road? So my confusion turns to panic as I glance up and notice how slow they're riding, almost seemingly stopping in front of my home. Being an avid paranormal enthusiast, my mind races and lands on the BEK phenomena, one of my bigger fears. I'm frozen, sitting in the dark, in my vehicle, not daring to make a move until I know that they've left. I see them seemingly riding behind my vehicle, obscured by the dark, and I look to my left, my driver's window, waiting to see them ride past and down the street to the main road. I sat for almost maybe 10 minutes in silence. I even had my phone camera ready to potentially take a photo if I needed to. But as I look through all the windows, I realize that the two figures I saw had vanished. No evidence of them being on the road, no evidence of what I saw, but such a specific interaction. Hard to say what it was I saw. But love the work. Keep it up. Thanks.
Thank you, Charles. Yes. The black-eyed kids. Those child-sized home invaders that seem to be hell-bent on getting inside. Now, they've been experienced all over the world. One, two, or sometimes three children, sometimes oddly dressed, will ring your doorbell late at night or come up to your car window if you happen to be alone, sitting in some desolate parking spot in the wee hours of the morning. They appear benign at first, almost helpless. But then you begin to notice something is off. But before you can pinpoint it, they begin to barrage you with requests to be let inside for a glass of water or to use the phone. Or if you're in your vehicle, they almost always want to ride somewhere. And despite their persistence, you begin to notice what's so unusual about these children. It's their eyes. Coal black, no pupil, no iris, no sclera. That would be the white part of the eyeball. No, their entire eye is all black. Just like doll's eyes. And this realization marks the do-or-die moment of just such an encounter. Survivors tell of narrowly escaping their hypnotic gaze by quickly closing the door, speeding off. But the truth is, we don't know what happens to those that acquiesced to their request. If anyone has actually let them in, those accounts are lost to history, because those folks are typically never heard from again. Now, I certainly hope it wasn't the BEK for your sake, Charles. Let's hope it was simply a set of sisters that snuck out at night to ride their brand new bikes or something. Because I shudder to think what might have happened had you slowed down that evening. Truly terrifying stuff. And we thank you again, Charles, for sharing it here with us. And there you go, folks. That's it for this evening. But stick around, because I do have a little more content to share with you, and I'll tell you exactly how to access it for free in just a few moments. But first, Monsters Among Us podcast is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes, Delaney Bowers, and Connor Ryan. All audio used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Do us a solid and follow us on social media. Like and follow our YouTube and give us a rate and review wherever that sort of thing is possible. Don't forget that you can catch the show every Saturday evening at 11 p.m. Eastern on the UnX Digital Network. Just visit unxnetwork.com to learn more. And finally, tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, Co.AG Music, and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Now don't forget, Shadows in the Desert. Watch it if you dare. Visit BoregoTriangle.com to tune in. And don't forget, you can get days worth of additional content over on our Patreon account or by joining us on Apple subscriptions. Either way, $5 a month gets you access to a slew of new-to-you calls. Hundreds of them, in fact. And of course, you can take advantage of either platform's free 7-day trial. Just visit the Patreon tab at our website, monstersamonguspodcast.com, to learn more. All right, folks, it's that time of the night. I'll see you in the beyond.
Side crash, move to the right shoulder, 215 northbound.
Well, kids, I have one more story to share with you. And like I said earlier, it's gonna make your skin crawl. Please welcome Anonymous, all the way from Texas.
Hey, Derek, this is Anonymous from Texas. I just wanted to call and give you one of my fun, scary stories from my childhood. So when I was about 12 years old, I was staying at home alone for the weekend. I was actually supposed to be staying with a friend, but I sort of lied to my parents and told them I was staying there, but then just went home after school and stayed there alone for the weekend. So, of course, as a 12-year-old, that feels pretty cool to be on your own for a whole weekend with the house to yourself. No parents, no siblings, all of that. So it was pretty fun during the day, but at night I had to be really careful not to let any light escape through my window because we did have a neighbor across the street who always sort of just looked out for the house when we were out of town. So I wanted to make sure they didn't find me out or didn't think that we were being broken into and call the police or anything like that. So I had to kind of keep a low profile. It was, I guess, that Saturday night, and I had, this is sort of janky, but I had just a sheet pinned over my window, which faced the front yard and the street out front. Not that that really matters, but the way our windows were, the windowsill was basically just almost like you cut a shallow rectangle out of the wall and you recessed the window back a little bit, maybe like 6 inches. And then there was no molding around it. There was no window treatments or anything like that. It was almost like if you pinned a huge poster over it, you wouldn't know that anything was there, if that makes sense. So my sheet was hanging completely flush against the wall. And I had been watching TV, but I decided it was time to go to sleep. So I turned off my TV and I was laying there and there was still some, you know, I could kind of see a little bit in the room from just ambient light. And I just couldn't sleep. And the way my bed was positioned was it was up against the wall to my left and then maybe 4 feet straight ahead past the foot of my bed was this window. So I'm laying there, I'm kind of looking around. I'm sort of freaking myself out thinking, you know, if someone broke in, I'm the only one here. So every little sound I was sort of like jumping at and, you know, constructing all sorts of scary things in my head because there's nobody else there but me. So while all of this is going on, I'm nowhere near sleep. I have my left shoulder up against the wall in bed and I have the sheets kind of up to my chin and I'm just kind of looking around the room trying to calm down. And I look up at my window that's covered by that flat sheet and I see something crawl out from underneath the sheet. So it was like it came from my window, essentially. It was probably about 8 inches long, 6 inches wide, and domed. It came out from under the sheet from the window, pretty close to the ceiling. It came out, it moved like a bug. So it kind of like skittered out on the wall, stopped, skittered up onto the ceiling in the corner, stopped, skittered down onto the top corner of the wall that I was pressed up against. So at this point it was like kind of facing me. And then it's like at that moment, it's like it noticed that I could see it and it skittered really fast up to my face on the wall. It was probably about a foot from my face when I pulled the covers over my head. But what it looked like was, like I said, it was kind of a bug shape, almost like if you think of a trilobite. It was sort of like that shape, roughly, like it was rounded in the front and it kind of went down to a point in the back and it was all like glossy beetle black. Every part of it was like glossy, kind of dull, shiny, like beetle black. And it had a lot of legs and it had a lot of teeth. Its teeth actually went kind of all across the front of its, it didn't really have a head. It was just like one, I don't know, one lump of a creature. It didn't really have a head or a neck or the different parts like insects do. It was just kind of like one weird little trilobite shaped thing with a lot of legs and a lot of teeth. And it had eyes, sort of like flies' eyes, like those complex eyes that look like, you know, they have like a grid or a honeycomb pattern on them. So it had these two huge eyes. It had all of these sharp teeth, like sharp curved crazy looking teeth. All of it was that like dull, shiny beetle black. And right as it had gotten to my face, it opened its mouth. And that thing happened where you hear something roar or scream at you, but you only hear it in your head. Like I could tell my ears didn't physically hear it. It's like it roared in my head at me. Like I said, I'd pulled the blankets up over my head when that happened. And I was so freaked out. I didn't want to move. I didn't want to breathe because I was so scared. And so I couldn't tell you how long I laid there. It was probably like 30 seconds, but it felt like forever until I finally, in one motion, like threw off the blankets, ran to across the room to my door, flipped on the lights. I kind of, at this point, didn't really care if anybody saw lights coming from the house. And I looked around and there's nothing there, like absolutely nothing there. So I ended up sleeping with at least the TV on for the rest of the night. I think I eventually did go to sleep a couple hours later, crazily enough. But that was the scariest thing I've ever seen. I had felt other things in that house, heard things, seen things out of the corner of my eye, but that was the only thing I'd ever looked directly at and seen in its entirety. So that was pretty scary. So I do have some other stories that happened to me when I lived in that house. Some creepy things happened to my sister quite a bit as well. So we just think there was something a little bit weird with that particular house that we lived in when we were kids. But I'll call back with some more stories. And thank you so much for taking the time to listen. Bye.
Thank you, caller. That'll certainly give you the heebie-jeebies. A giant beetle near your pillow. Now I had Delaney do some research, and the creature that she landed on is the exact same creature that I had in my head. A large beetle common in Texas that has huge mandible-like front legs, buggy fly-like eyes, and can grow to be almost 5 inches in length. And it also has a terrifying name.
What is the Texas toe biter?
So these are, you can see, fairly large insects. The larger species can get anywhere from 2 to 4 inches, but that's in the adult stage. So they can be rather alarming if people see them. They're a brown color, kind of oval shape. But I think what everyone is so disturbed by, other than their size, I guess, is that they have this very short mouth part. It's not like a beak, like a bird has a beak. It's more kind of like a sharp straw, and they can use that to stab into things. That's how they feed. So it's normal that they do that, but they also will use that to get away from people if people decide to pick them up.
Now that clip courtesy of KXAN, NBC News, out of Austin. And I have to be honest here, caller. This little critter fits your description nearly perfectly. They live in Texas. They're huge, almost the size you described. Your physical description even seemed to match almost exactly, even down to the weird, toothy, straw-like appendage on the front of its mouth. And it's not a stretch of the imagination to think that something like this could easily find its way into someone's house. But you know, there is a little bit of good news here. The following information also comes from that same KXAN news story.
Are they dangerous?
I'm going to say no. If you get bitten by one, it is going to hurt. So I'm not going to say that it will be a pleasant experience. But as far as them, you know, they don't suck blood. They don't vector disease. They don't do anything like that. So it's more of a sharp, immediate pain and maybe some swelling and stuff like that afterwards.
Now check out our show notes if you'd like to lay eyes on this monstrosity. MonstersAmongUsPodcast.com and click the show notes tab. And let's hope that that's the only time you'll have to see it. Because running into one of these things in your bedroom just might ruin your weekend. A big thanks, caller, for sending that call in. And thanks for giving us all the willies. All right, folks. It's time to go beyond the after show, where we share a few more calls for the most diehard of fans. And if you'd like to learn how to join us, rewind this episode back about 8 minutes, or visit MonstersAmongUsPodcast.com and click the Patreon tab. It's there that you'll hear stories like John's out of the state of Massachusetts.
Hi, my name is John. I live in Massachusetts.
and I was calling to tell a story that happened to my grandmother and my aunts and uncles. I should say my grandfather was not my grandmother's first husband. She had married very young to someone that she was in love with, and they married and they had three children. And unfortunately, her first husband, when he was in his early to mid-20s, his appendix burst, and they tried to do surgery, but this is a very rural place, and he ended up passing away very young. They go to the funeral. My two aunts, my uncle, my grandmother, of course, everyone's very sad. Everyone's crying. And they came home after the funeral, and my grandmother...